certainly ask for your prayers this evening. I'd like to say I'm thankful for the meeting. I'm thankful to have been here. I'd say I appreciate the effort and labors that I know go into a meeting. Your hospitality and welcome to us means a lot to us, and we appreciate it. Thinking of a word that I've heard Brother Marty, perhaps others, use numerous times in this meeting, it's opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have. And I believe that's what the Lord's interest is for us, to give us an opportunity. While today is the day of salvation, while now is the accepted time to stir us, to dig about us, for us to examine ourselves and where we are, maybe against where we thought we were, for the Lord in His faithfulness to come along and shine the spotlight of His Word, that is His faithfulness, isn't it, to us? To examine us, and I'm thankful for that the Lord is interested in doing that. Burden that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart is not necessarily an easy one for me to bring. But we believe that and pray that the Lord would order what He sees as needed. And so I want to bring the burden to you is by the Lord's help that He's laid upon my heart. I'd like for you to turn with me to Joshua, the 7th chapter. 7th chapter of Joshua, familiar story of the Bible. The time whenever, give just a little bit of a preface from the previous chapter, the time whenever the Lord brought the children of Israel up against Jericho and gave them the deliverance, before the walls came tumbling down, He gave them instructions. He said that in the 18th verse of the 6th chapter, He said, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." And so the people shouted, and they followed the instruction of the Lord and marching around the city. And as the walls came down, and they went in, and they took the city, all but the souls that they had promised to save, of Rahab and her family. They were given very clear instruction of what they were not to do. In any wise, in other words, whatever you do, don't touch it. Whenever you go in and now all the inhabitants of the city are, they're out of the way, and all of their possessions and their wealth are laid out and open before you. And man being man, without God's help, there was one who looked upon all that they saw laying by. And I wondered what went through Achan's mind. As he was going through and he saw that, I wonder if he thought, nobody will miss this. Look at all the abundance that there is. Surely just one little garment, just a few pieces of gold, and everything else that there is present. Surely that would be all right. Surely nobody would ever miss it. Nobody would ever know any different. But the children of Israel, 7:1, committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai to spy it out and to examine it. And they decided that they didn't need to send all the men. But they had overlooked one thing, that it was God that their dependence was upon, that fought the battle for them, and God had been displeased because of this, because of the covenant, the instruction that He had given, don't allow yourselves to partake of it. Very clear instruction unto them. Whatever you do, don't partake of it. And Achan, for whatever the thought process of his mind was, decided that I can partake of just a little bit of it. And I have to believe that Achan knew full well. I don't think he was absent whenever the instruction was given. Don't partake of it. Because it said that he went and he took and hid it in the earth. If you do something innocently, you don't take and hide it under your tent. But he was trying because of the condition of his heart, that he knew that he partook of that he wasn't to partake of. He knew that there was something in his life and in his possession that God had said, don't allow to be there. Well, came down, I'd like to pick up just a few of the verses of this. The 10th verse. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before the enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. For the sake of time, the 14th verse begins to tell how they narrowed it down. Whenever they brought the whole host of the people out and said, somebody among you has partaken of the accursed thing. And I again put myself in Achan's shoes. I wonder what he felt that morning. Whenever he said, of all the people that are out, maybe he looked around and thought, I'm not very conspicuous here. It's still underneath the earth. How will they know any differently? And it started being narrowed down. And the closer it got, and the closer, I wonder if he started beginning to get a little more and a little more afraid. This thing's starting to come down real close to where I'm at. Now it's down in my own tribe. Oh, I may be in trouble. And then it points to me. It says, Achan, you're the man. Confess now what you've done. Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. There's not a whole lot you can say at that point. Whenever it's been pinpointed to Achan and what he had done. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And as we know the rest of the story, Achan, because of that, lost his life, and not only him, but his own family with it. I wonder if it was worth those few little things that he took. The few things that he looked on and thought, I'll be able to get by with these things in my life. These things, and to be able to take it and hide it, and nobody will ever know the difference. You know, I wonder today how many people have things in their lives that I think I'll be able to carry this along and be all right with it. And maybe I've done it for years. Maybe I've gotten away with it, and I've been able to justify it in my mind of things about who I am that the Lord has said way back, don't touch it. Don't allow that thing. Don't allow that to be part of your life. Don't partake of the thing that I've said is a curse, the thing that I've put my curse on. And oh, it cost. It cost dearly. It cost him his life. It cost the children of Israel the victory that they could have won at that city. It cost others their lives also as they were defeated. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. For me to take and to put something in my life that I try to cover up, that I try to think I can go on living for the Lord. I can go on and I can still walk in the way that I'm walking, and I've gotten by with it and I've justified it and nothing's happened. But it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us. It says, he that covereth. He that says and comes to the point of decision in my life, this thing that I know the Lord's not pleased with, instead of bringing it out to the light and saying, Lord, this is what's here. Lord, I saw it. I took of it. I shouldn't have done it. Lord, I realize that I have a need in my life, and deal with it and bring it out. Instead, for me to cover it up and to justify and excuse it and think I'll be able to get by with it, I'll not prosper. I'll not be able to have the Lord's favor and blessing upon my life. And all that should mean more to us than anything else. More to us than anything else. For the Lord to be able to go before us and to fight our battles. As has been said, if you have in this meeting, if you have something that doesn't work, it's time to trade it in. If you have something that doesn't bring the power in your life, it's time to trade it in. It's time to have something and to realize that my God is a God of victory. I should have been able to take AI. We should have been able to conquer. But there's something in the way. There's something that's standing between us and being able to have God's approval upon our lives. We will not prosper if we do it. I'd like to look at 1 Kings, the 21st chapter. Thought of another instance of this. 1 Kings 21. Remember Ahab's neighbor, Naboth? He had a vineyard that bordered the place, the palace of Ahab. It was just right next to it, and as Ahab was out admiring his own grounds and everything that he had, he looked over and he saw Naboth's vineyard, and he wanted it. And he did what seemed innocent enough. He went and spake unto Naboth, saying, "Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." And Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid me that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." And Ahab became very displeased because of that. Went back to his house, and he lay down on his bed. He wouldn't talk. He turned his back to the wall, and he lay there. And Jezebel came along, discovered what it was, and they began to scheme of a way to get that plot for Ahab. There's no reason, Ahab, that it shouldn't be able to be yours when you're the king. And so of the wicked plot that she put together. You go out and you appoint men that will go and lay false accusation against him and say that he's cursed the Lord God and bring him up in a sense of a mock trial. They took him out and they bore false witness against an innocent man, took him out and they stoned him for the purpose of Ahab being able to get the vineyard that he wanted. But Ahab and Jezebel overlooked one little thing. Not little. They overlooked the fact that there is a God. That there is a God that sees all things. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil." And the Lord saw that. The Lord looked down upon that scheme, was able to see right through the falseness of it, was able to look and see what they were planning and what had taken place. And the word of the Lord, the 17th verse, came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, the king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." And Ahab said to Elijah, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" And he answered, "I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord." I wonder what Ahab thought. Now I have my vineyard. Now I'm enjoying it. I'm looking upon it, the thing that I wanted so badly. Now it's mine. It's in my possession. All this worked beautifully. And then I look up and I say, "Oh no. Here comes him. Here comes the one that is here to cause trouble for me. Mine enemy. Have you found me, O mine enemy?" The Lord, looking down upon what he had done, revealed it unto Elijah and told it, and he came down and was able to pinpoint exactly what he had done. You can't hide it from the Lord. But I wonder and marvel at how many times people have tried it. How many times, even knowing, it seems like the foolishness of it. Of course the Lord sees. Whenever Adam and Eve partook of the accursed fruit. Then as the Lord came by in the cool of the evening, they went and hid themselves. Could you be so foolish to think you can hide behind a bush from all-seeing God? Another generation passed. "O Cain, where is your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Can I hide it? Can I really believe that this God, I can hide what I've done from? I can hide the motive of my heart from him? Who am I fooling to think that I can fool God? I'm fooling myself. Said the blood of your brother cries up from the ground to me." Jonah. Oh, Jonah, you should have known better. Should have known better than to think that somehow by running and taking a ship, I can hide of all places in the bottom of that ship from all-seeing God. But yet he did it, and he ran. The scripture talks about in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Hebrews 3 and the 13th, 12th verse. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in you, in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Thinking about the deceitfulness of sin. Take heed unto yourselves, lest any of you should be deceived by sin. There is a deceitfulness to sin. Yes, Jonah should have known better. Yes, Cain should have known better. Adam and Eve should have known better. They should have known that the Lord can look upon it and see. But the deceitfulness of sin set in. Scripture says in Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter, the 11th verse, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the sons of men are set in their heart, or set in their ways, something to that effect. Because sentence is not executed speedily. I've done it, and it seems the same today as it was yesterday. I don't intend for this to be a political statement of any sort, but I remember the time whenever politicians were pushing the health care law. There were many on both sides of the aisle that were crying for it, were protesting against it, felt very strongly about it. Now remember the day after it was passed. Politicians saying, see, it's another day. The end of the world hasn't come. The sky hasn't fallen. It's still the same today. In other words, to say of all that you predicted, of how bad this is, we've done it now and nothing's happened. We've done it now and there have been no consequences to what we've done. You know, that is part of the deceitfulness of sin. I do something, I partake of something, I begin to allow a little something in my life. And if I don't deal with it, the sun will rise by the Lord's mercy the next day, and everything still seems the same. I lay down at night and I still look the same. The next time I see people, they still see me the same way. It's a condition of the heart. There's something that's taken place in the heart. And if I'm not careful, will begin to see me. Scripture says in the book of Psalms, the 14th chapter and the first verse. Turn and read that. Psalms 14. In verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside, they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, not one. I'd like to take notice of the first part of the first verse. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If even not by words, by actions, I've said by my conduct, there's no God. Maybe I believe by head knowledge, I know there's a God. I know there's one that somehow in my mind, I know I'm going to stand and give account. I know I've heard that the end of time as we were exhorted before prayer. I know that all these things will come to pass. I know the end of time will come. But if I'm not careful, by the deceitfulness of sin, by the things that I put my blessing and sanction upon in my life that the Lord does not bless, I'll find myself in this place where I'm as the fool that thinks and by my action says there is no God. There is no consequence to what I do. I'm able to fool others. I'm able to put on a good show. There's none that sees beyond that. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place. If I were to fully believe in my heart and be persuaded, Scripture says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If I know the one with whom I have to do, the one that's looking upon my life, I couldn't so casually do those things in my life. Partake of those things, the attitudes, the actions, the things I look at, whatever it is that maybe no one else sees, I couldn't so carelessly do it because I know there is a God. I know there's one who sees all things that's looking upon my life. Galatians 6 and 7 I'd like to refer to again. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When has God ever said, it shall, and it didn't? When has God ever said that it will happen, and it doesn't? If God decrees it, the rule, the law of sowing and reaping, He said, will stand. It will be. It is the law that's decreed. I can say, I can persuade myself otherwise. But if I sow a certain thing in my life, I'm going to reap it. The reaping time is coming, and to say and convince myself of anything otherwise is to deceive myself. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. There is a sowing time. I'd like to look at the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Consider this God that sees all things. Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Him with whom we have to do. That's not my brother. That's not just my neighbor. The one that is talking about here, him with whom we have to do. The one that I'm going to stand before and give account of my life unto is the one before whom all things are naked and open and manifest. I also marvel at the idea that the Pharisees and others had that they could come to Jesus and hide something from him. That they would be able to come to him and they would come with a question to trap him in his own words. And Jesus, looking on that, said many places something to this effect. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, and Jesus perceiving their hypocrisy, all he had to do was to look upon him, and he was able to see beyond the shell, to see beyond the facade, to see beyond the profession, and know right down to the very depths of that person, this is what's motivating you. This is what's behind the question that you're asking. I can see, who do you think you're fooling? I can see right through it. Jesus discerning and understanding that same one who today we have to do with in our lives. That one that discerns and understands the motives, the things that are behind, the things that are motivating what I'm doing. It behooves me to be honest before him. To be honest and be willing to deal with those things, those areas of my life that he tries to put his finger on, that he tries to deal with. Oh, it does me no good to try to make excuse for it. To try to cover it over, to try to make it something less than what it is. Because the Lord sees the heart. The Lord sees the very root of what it is, beyond what man is able to see. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Wherefore we labor. Everything that I do, the reason for what I'm doing, I have no reason to try to live a form. I have no reason to try to live something that's shallow and hollow, something that has a form of godliness but no power behind it. It doesn't benefit me any. It does nothing for me. The thing that I labor for, the thing Paul, I believe, said, herein do I exercise myself. I put forth the effort daily to have a conscience void of offense before God and before man. We sang the song, I believe it was this morning, nothing between me and my Savior. Nothing, not to allow anything. I want to know. I want to be of the heart condition and the mindset when I lay my head down at night. Lord, is there anything in the way? Is there anything that's displeased you today? I want to deal with it. I want to take care of it. I want to be open and honest about it. Because the Lord sees and he understands and knows that. Wherefore I labor. Lord, I want your blessing on my life. I want you to bless. Whenever I face a battle, I want you to fight for me. Whenever I need my prayers answered, I want you to hear my cry. Whenever my child is sick, I want to be able to call upon you and you hear my cry. The value of the Lord hearing our prayers. The value of him being able to fight our battles for us. That power is not in a form. That power is not in me living acceptably before men alone. But whenever the Lord looks down and he sees that my heart is pure, he sees that my motives and my intentions and everything within, I'm open and honest and clear before the Lord. That's when he can come and he can put his blessing and approval on my life. Whenever the children of Israel were clear before the Lord, there was no one that could stand in their way. Whenever they followed Him and obeyed and walked in His instructions, there was no nation, no people, no city or wall thick enough that could stand in the way of them. But as we see here with Achan, whenever they decided to take things in their own hands, and I can partake of a little something in my life that I know the Lord said He's not pleased with, and I can try to cover that over and put earth over it. I can try to put it under my tent where no one else will see it. We'll be defeated every time. We'll find ourselves running in circles over and over and over again. And I fear that there are people that spend their lives running in circles, that spend their lives never getting anywhere, because I've never come to the point that I'm willing to be honest, that I'm willing to say, Lord, this is who I am. Every time I come face to face with it, I want to say it's not me. I want to say, but this is why I'm that way. But this is why I have to act that way. And I'm never willing, I'm never able to come to that place to say, Lord, it's me. Lord, I want to empty out. Lord, thank You for shining Your light upon me. Thank You for opening this up before me to see it. I want to deal with it. In that place, we can take off from that circle we were in a tangent. The Lord wants to give us something better than that. The Lord wants to fight our battles for us and give us a successful life for Him. But we have a part that we have to play, to labor to be accepted of Him. Jesus said, there's nothing that's secret that will not be revealed in that day. Nothing that man tries to cover up, the works of men, it's not going to be open and manifest and exposed for exactly what it is. The third chapter of John, Jesus dealing with what I think of as perhaps a phenomenon. It says, this is the condemnation, 19th verse, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Which place am I in tonight? Which place throughout this meeting, as the Lord has come and hopefully visited with my heart, hopefully there have been places with every one of us that the Lord has shown us, here's an area that you can move on. Here's something that you need to work on and to perfect. Am I of the type that I want to hide from it? That I want to try to withdraw? That I want to try to remove myself from that exposes me for who I am? I don't want people to see that side of me. I don't want them to recognize that I have this need. Jesus saying the idea that people would hate dark, hate light. The idea that whenever light shines, they'd run the other way. But that's what Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees. Whenever He tried to manifest and deal with them, wasn't, I don't believe, just trying to cut them off, just trying to show them for how foolish they really were. But the Lord came to seek and to save all those that were lost. He came to give them opportunity as well. He came, should they have been willing to say, yes, Lord, I am a whitewashed sepulcher. Yes, Lord, within I am full of dead men's bones. Have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me and bring me to a place that I can be filled with Your righteousness. I am fully persuaded the Lord would have saved them, just as He did the publican. The Lord would have extended mercy to them as well. But that's what Jesus was dealing with. Those that did not want to come to the place that their deeds were exposed. Lord, help us not to run from the light. Scripture talks about those that have a love for the truth. I believe that includes the faith, the doctrines. But I also believe it includes the truth about who I am. That I have a love for the truth. That I have, whenever the Lord comes and shows me, this is Clint. That I have a love for that. That I have a thank You, Lord, for showing me. That I embrace that. Lord, I want to see that. I want You to show those areas of my life. If we do that, we'll be able to live. We'll be able to have the Lord to show us and have His approval upon our lives. That law of sowing and reaping has been since the beginning of time. It stood throughout time of those that thought somehow they could fool God. That thought somehow, perhaps Saul, whenever he thought somehow I can do differently than what the Lord instructed, I can partake of the accursing, I can spare the best of the sheep and the oxen, somehow I won't hear the bleeding, Somehow they won't know that I've partaken of this. And then you look at the end of Saul's life. You see what he came down to. Turning whenever he had known the voice of God. Turning to the witch at Endor for help. All because he came to that place that he was not willing. That he became lifted up in his own estimation of who he was. The law of sowing and reaping. You know, I'm thankful there's a remedy for that. The only remedy for the law of sowing and reaping came through Jesus Christ. The only out that he came. This is the one exception to the law. You sow, you're gonna, yes, I know there's still some reaping perhaps that we do physically by decisions that we've made. But the responsibility that I bear, the weight that I bear of what I've done, the mark that I bear upon me that can never be hidden from the Lord. He's partaken of it. Maybe it was 30 years ago and I never dealt with it. I've gone on, I've moved on from that time. I try to put it out of my mind. I try not to deal with it. If I've not put it under the blood, if I've not brought that out into the light and said, Lord, heal this place. Lord, deal with this. Expose this thing. Forgive me of it, Lord. That mark is still there. That place is still there that the Lord looks on and says, you've never taken care of it. But I'm thankful that there is a remedy. I'd like to look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, the 24th verse. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Some men's sins are open beforehand, before the time that they come to judgment. But oh, the horror of the next. Some men's sins they come after. Some men, they never deal with their sins. Some men, those places in their lives that I've tried to cover up, I've tried to hide, I've tried to make excuse for, I never came to the place that I dealt with it. Never came to the place that I said, yes, Lord, that's me. Yes, Lord, that's the place that I am. Lord, forgive me. I never dealt with it. I never took care of it. There is coming a time that it'll be exposed. But it'll be after the judgment day. It'll be after and at the time that the Lord said mercy is no more. Now is the time that it's shown before you in full view of what you've done. There's no excuse. There's no making excuses or covering up for it then. But I would exhort every one of us. Let's examine ourselves. Let's have a carefulness about us. Let's examine our hearts and lives. And say, Lord, if there's any place in my life, help me to avail myself of that remedy. Help me to expose it beforehand. Some men's sins are open beforehand. They come to the place, Lord, this is what I have. Please take care of it. The thing about David. David was in that same place, committed an awful transgression. No one else was there perhaps to look on it and see it, to see what was in that sealed letter that he sent saying, have this man killed. Have this man put him on the front lines that he can be killed and I can take his wife. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. And he sent Nathan his way. Nathan began to dig through the layers and begin to expose David for who he was. And said, David, thou art the man. Well, what I'd like for us to consider is the rest of that story. David, as he realized, as he saw it's exposed, Lord, you've exposed me for who I am. You've exposed what I've done. Oh, have mercy on me. You can read throughout the 51st chapter of Psalms where David is pleading for mercy. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, pardon me. Forgive me. The Lord did it, didn't he? The Lord, because of that, and I'd like to look at something that I believe David wrote, Psalms 104. Psalms 104 and 10. I'm sorry, I wrote down the wrong scripture. Maybe you can help me find it. It says, the Lord hath not dealt with us after our sins. He's not dealt with us according to the multitude of our transgressions. If you find that, we'll read it. I believe that was a consolation to David. As he was looking back on what he had done, and he realized the man that he had been, realized the place that he was in, he didn't make excuse for it, didn't try to cover it up, didn't try to excuse it and make excuse and hide it from the Lord. But he was able to come to the place that he said, Lord, I am that man. I am the one that did that, and ask his forgiveness and his pardon. So that scripture looking for also goes on to say, as far as the east is from the west, so far has the Lord removed our transgressions from us. That is the remedy. That is the remedy. That is the out, the option for us to escape that law of sowing and reaping. That law that I've, because of what I've done. And David, I think, bore that. He bore the weight of it. But he came to a place that the Lord didn't deal with him according to his sin, the multitude of his transgression, because he asked the pardon and the mercy of the Lord. David said that you have not dealt with us after our sins. Thank you. Psalms 103 and 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I don't believe the Lord exposes those places in our lives for us to just feel the awful weight of it the rest of our lives, for us to feel that, but I believe he does it according to his mercy. That I might, as a father pitieth his child, to show me those areas in my life in his faithfulness and mercy. And if I'm willing, the Lord will apply to my life that remedy. Think of the scripture. It tells us not to sin. But it said, but brethren, if any man do sin, he has an advocate with the Father. If you find yourself in that place, you have an advocate. You have one that you can turn to and plead the blood of. Lord, this thing in my life, this thing that I've been covering up, this thing that I thought I was getting away with and nobody saw, Lord, would you put the blood on it? Would you apply the blood? Would you cast it as far as the east is from the west, that I not have to bear the weight of this thing anymore? I want it to be open beforehand and deal with it, while today is the day of mercy. That was, I believe, David's consolation. I would tonight that we would have a great clearing of ourselves, to be able to know, to make our calling and election sure, that I examine myself. Have I dealt honestly with the Lord? Have I truly been honest before Him when He's come and tried to deal with me about who I am? It's foolish to do otherwise. The Lord sees it anyway. Lord, help us if there's a place such as that in my life, that I bring it before Him and say, Lord, I know You already see it, and now I acknowledge it. Lord, would You heal that place? Would You take care of that? Would You place the blood? I'm reminded of a dream that I read about that a man had. Went in, just give a few details of it, went into a room and said he saw one that was, as to him, Jesus, was going through a filing cabinet. And he was looking at one thing, one card after another and examining it. He said he went up and he looked at that and he began to see on each card was written a thought that he had had, a deed that he had committed, a word that he had said, something that he had done, and some of them, he said, I was so ashamed, I just felt like hiding from it. But as he began to look across it, he saw something written in red, paid in full. You know, that's what we can have across those places in our lives, paid in full. We don't need to bear the weight of that, but the Lord can take and stamp that upon it. That whenever I come to that place, the Lord will be able to have an approval to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If not, I'm reminded of the parable of the king that invited guests to the wedding. And he gave them wedding garments to put on. And there was one that didn't have the garment on. Whenever he was brought before the king and he asked the question, where's your garment? What did the man answer him? He answered not a word. He said that he was speechless before him. You know, that's the way that we'll be as well. If I don't deal honestly before the one with whom I have to do, if I'm not open and transparent before him in my dealings, I too will someday be speechless and without excuse. So I would tonight, again, that we examine ourselves. Let's be challenged to have a carefulness about us in our lives. As the Lord shows things in our lives and exposes areas, that I be willing and honest before him to say, yes, Lord, that's me. that I be willing to take care of that and not cover it up, not try to convince myself that I'm something otherwise, other than that, because the Lord sees all things. It's His desire for us to be able to hear those words. Well done. You pray for me.